Welcome back. Well, the US President Donald Trump has warned the Russian President Vladimir Putin there will be very severe consequences if Russia does not agree to stop the war in Ukraine after their meeting in Alaska tomorrow. President Trump said he's planning a second meeting, which would include President Putin and Ukraine's leader Vladimir Zelensky. President Zelensky will meet the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer in Downing Street later today. Ukraine and its European allies have urged President Trump to push for a ceasefire. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Anne McElvoy, executive editor and head of podcasting at Politico. Good morning, Anne, and thank you for joining us on Morning Ireland.
Good morning.
What can we expect from tomorrow's meeting between these two leaders?
Well, the problem essentially with the meeting between Putin and with President Trump is that you really don't know entirely what to expect. You know, we'll certainly see from President Putin, who's had a very long time to prepare the route to this moment. It's a kind of rehabilitation for him on the international stage after he's been something of a pariah since, let's not forget, two incursions and then full invasions into Ukraine going back to 2014. He hasn't been able to appear much on the international stage in the democratic world. In the case of Donald Trump, well, he tends to, yeah, as we all know, he has a maverick style. He's unorthodox. He shoots from the hip or shoots from the lip. And what I think what we're trying to see then now is the European side, and particularly the meeting with Keir Starmer that will be taking place with Vladimir Zelensky today, is to try to get some talking points across to Donald Trump that would be less damaging to the outcome for Ukraine, but at the same time would satisfy President Trump's desire to see himself as a peacemaker.
You've been talking there about the European side. There has been a flurry of European diplomacy this week. EU leaders, including Zelensky, spoke to President Trump yesterday to try to protect Ukrainian and European interests. But how effective do you think these discussions have actually been?
Well, you never know until, you know, do you see, anyone who's seen the old musical Hamilton will remember the great line about, you know, into the room where it happens and the art of the trade, how the sausage gets made. And you don't really know until that room, you know, is live with Trump and Putin in it, whether influence from the outside has had any effect. Usually fairly pessimistic, because I think the idea of land swaps, when really there's not much to be swapped, you know, one country invaded another one and took slices off its land. So the idea that we're talking about swaps is already starting in a poor position for Ukraine. But if you look at the bigger picture, that presenting options perhaps to Donald Trump to ensure that there are red lines around Ukraine's sovereignty, about its ability to arm itself, where America has an interest in supplying arms to Ukraine, it now appears that Europeans, as the rest of us, will pay a lot more for that. You know, that is not entirely a disaster. What is a disaster is if the Kremlin gets its way, takes land from Ukraine, but effectively turns it, what it wants to do, back into a satrapy of Moscow.
Talking about land swaps, one of the elements of the talks will be that exact idea of giving up Ukrainian territory to Russia to end the fighting. How likely is it that Ukraine will be forced to give up land to achieve peace?
Well, it's likely that it will be forced, as you put it, or the deal will require swaps, certainly in the Donbass and Zaporizhia, in areas that are heavily occupied by Russia as it stands. But when you talk about giving up, there are different ways that you can frame that. I mean, we've had frozen conflicts in parts of the world for a long time. It's also possible, say, on Crimea, that you could have a situation a bit like we've had in Cyprus and elsewhere, where you accept, or that one country grudgingly accepts the status quo, but it knows it's not going to get back Crimea in any time, but it will not relinquish a big claim to it. I mean, a bigger example people remember would be East Germany, which for 40 years, you know, was under a different government, but was then unified. So I think that is one way that you could look at land swaps. And my own view is that that's probably what President Trump wants. And if the rest of Ukraine's integrity can be preserved, that's okay. Actually making them happen, by the way, is a completely other matter. I mean, you also have, you know, as we know, you know, Ukrainian children who've been given to Russian families in the occupied territory. So it's not an answer, but it's probably the beginning of a deal.
When you look at the extent of how European leaders have had to fight to be heard about this conflict, when it's happening really on its own doorstep, what does this say, in your opinion, about Europeans' defence, and what more does Europe actually need to do to be heard?
It simply needs to arm itself faster, better, more efficiently. And the lesson of the Ukraine crisis was to do that and not to go step by step, but from the beginning to say that this was unacceptable. Because one thing that you find with Vladimir Putin is if he pushes on, and if he finds mush, he pushes further, and if he finds steel, he tends to retreat or rethink. So I think the speed of Europe's reaction, the fact that we were not a united entity, that a lot of people were still pursuing a line that said, oh, you know, you mustn't do anything in case you escalate the crisis, which then proceeded to escalate precisely because we didn't escalate our response. So there are lessons to be learned. I think, you know, and you know this as you're sitting, as your listeners are sitting there in Ireland, is everything from trying to get our defence spending up quickly to hit targets that we ought to hit if we want to be able to defend our own continent. And the person who's brought home that message is partly Vladimir Putin, of course, in Ukraine, and he will not stop in Ukraine if he is able to go further into the Baltic states, etc. But also Donald Trump, who's basically said, you're on your own with your defence. But that was something that we should have maybe figured out perhaps before it got to this point in the crisis.
Russia has been making advances in Ukraine. Given that, how serious do you think Vladimir Putin is about peace? Or is this just about the optics of meeting President Trump?
I think that's entirely the right question. I think it's a shimmer. It's not really about peace at all. I mean, I just, you know, the baked Alaska mess is really what I'm calling it in a column today, because it is something that looks appetizing. It's intended to show Donald Trump that he can give Donald Trump something he wants, which is to be this president for peace, possible candidate, or likely to get a Nobel Peace Prize, which the US president hankers for. But no, if President Putin wants to extirpate the idea of an independent and free Ukraine and have it run effectively from Moscow or through proxies, economically, socially, ultimately, politically, the fact that he's got two bits of extra territory down in the Donbass and in the east of Ukraine is not the end of his ambition. And I think that is what Keir Starmer and others are tasked today very urgently with putting across to President Trump. Don't trust Vladimir Putin. You know, he's taking you for a ride. And then, of course, Vladimir Putin will get in that room and he'll be saying the opposite. Trust me, trust me. Don't trust these Europeans. You know that they don't like to, you know, to pay for their own defence. I can really sort this out man to man with you. That's the tension.
You're speaking about that meeting today with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer and President Zelensky. What is the significance of that meeting?
Well, that is significant in the sense that Keir Starmer has become something of an honest broker here. He has a good relationship with President Trump. He made sure that he has a functioning relationship with President Trump. I think other leaders thought for a while it's a very good idea to maybe push back and you know, make lots of sort of objections to Trump. And if you want that adversarial relationship, you can it, but it's not necessarily a productive one in this crisis. So I think Zelensky certainly trusts Keir Starmer, if you like, to relay his message. He'll be hoping that Keir Starmer can get his message over to the US side, that they agree that you can't trust Russia line and sort of stick to it. Because I think where the Western alliance, to be critical on the other side, has come unstuck is when Zelensky went to Washington and pushed too hard publicly with Trump, and that went very badly. So I think Keir Starmer is there partly as counsellor, advisor, and has a degree of respect, you know, as part of a European coalition, which will need to keep defending Ukraine long after this summit up in Alaska.
Anne McElvoy, executive editor and head of podcasting at Politico, thank you for speaking to us on Morning Ireland. It's 19 minutes past seven.